Hello and welcome to the BNP Paribas Asset Management Talking Heads podcast. Every week, Talking Heads will bring you in-depth insights and analysis through the lens of sustainability on the topics that really matter to investors. In this episode, we'll be discussing infrastructure debt. I'm Andy Craig, co-head of the Investment Insights Centre, and I'm delighted to be joined this week by Stéphanie Passé and Vincent Guillaume, who are deputy heads for infrastructure debt within our private assets team. Welcome, Stéphanie and Vincent.
Thank you, Andrew. Glad to be here today.
Thank you, Andrew.
Very good. Well, the first question I have for you, and this is perhaps a fairly obvious one, as we head towards the end of the year and we start thinking about 2024, is now a good time to invest in infrastructure debt assets?
Thank you, Andrew. Yes, indeed. We can say that the past year and a half has been characterized by a significant market volatility driven by the combination of high inflation, rising interest rates, geopolitical uncertainties. So in this challenging macroeconomic environment, we feel that investing in infrastructure debt appears to be a resilient and compelling solution, especially for investors high in stable long-term income, stable cash flow, and diversification versus other asset classes. Credit performance in infrastructure has been generally strong across all the sector, thanks to the favorable underlying features of infrastructure assets, such as regulated, contracted, or inflation pass-through revenues. And now, infrastructure debt can also provide investors with high cash income and attractive absolute returns. For instance, in the current market environment, we can see junior infrastructure debts offering yield at 8 to 8.5%, benefited from the impact of rising base rates, so closing the gap with core infra equity returns.
Yeah, Vincent, you're right. The economic environment makes it a great time for infrastructure debt. And not surprisingly, we observe a lot of investors expressing their interest in increasing their exposure to infrastructure debt to benefit from the higher risk-adjusted return and the safer income generation provided by that instrument. So we observe specific interest and demand for junior debt or sub-investment grade infrastructure debt, as they now offer a very attractive risk-adjusted return, as Vincent just mentioned. But there is also a strong value in a traditional senior investment-grade debt that is providing a positive liquidity premium, in particular for strategies that are focusing on mitigating climate change.
Given this environment, can you share some insights with us about the market outlook today and in particular, perhaps the balance between equity and debt investments?
What we see on the market is we observe some slowdown of the M&A activities, mainly impacting deal flow of equity projects. I would say the fundamentals of infrastructure asset class remain robust and attractive, but the industry needs to adjust to the new reality with sellers and buyers currently adjusting their return expectation. And this could take a further, let's say, 6 to 12 months to do these adjustments. But on the debt side, the pipeline remains very strong. We are seeing a lot of refinancing activity. We are seeing incremental or add-on facility to finance project CapEx growth. And importantly, we continue to see a lot of greenfield opportunities driven by the massive needs in energy transition and digitalization. And we expect this trend shall continue looking forward.
And to add to that, we also see equity sponsors that are turning more to private debt as they recognize the reliability and flexibility that is offered by private lenders, as they can provide execution certainty and bespoke solution to their needs. So capital deployment for infrastructure debt has continued to be very active, and the trend shall continue, as Vincent just mentioned. And we expect a lot of activity in 2024, especially related to the refinancing of existing debt, as a lot of them are nearing maturity. There are also more sponsors looking for a non-dilutive product and form of capital, so products that are sitting somewhere between traditional senior debt and equity, which means that high-yield debt opportunities and junior debt opportunities to finance the growth and refinance their structure. So this is a very strong trend that we observe on our market.
Vincent mentioned the energy transition, and that brings me to the question, are climate change and the energy transition still central themes for infrastructure debt?
Global warming is indeed one of the defining issues of our time. And we are especially at a turning point this day as the overall infra market is transitioning toward low carbon assets. BNP Paribas and BNP Paribas Asset Management is putting sustainability and the fight against climate change at the heart of its business model, and that is still the case today. And we are strongly committed to support the transition to a low-carbon economy. As public funding is not sufficient to meet all the needs to reach net zero emissions by 2050, private capital is key in this context, including infra debt. Infrastructure is fundamental to enable the transition. What we can mention as well is that it's not only through renewable energy. Renewable energy still represents a huge flow of transactions in view of the European objective to reach 45% renewable production by 2030. But decarbonization now spans to all infrastructure assets, including other sectors such as transportation. Decarbonization also touches upon the reduction of carbon emissions through circular economy and recycling. We see opportunities arising in this field. In addition, carbon can also be captured directly from industrial production. So we foresee opportunities coming in carbon capture storage in the near future.
Yeah, and I would concur on what Stephanie just said, taking some example, especially in the clean transportation sector. Electric vehicle charging platform, for instance, or electrification of rail networks in Europe are both very hot topics today as part of this clean mobility megatrend and definitely playing a role in the decarbonization of the transportation sectors. In parallel, we think this will continue to boost the demand for low carbon and renewable energy sources. And we have been very active in this area. For instance, we have financed this year a major European charging point operator and a prominent player in the EV charging space, and we are very proud to be one of the first lenders in that field. The investment also benefits to society as the partner plays a key role in the European energy transition and supports the decarbonization of the mobility sector, helping people to make the transition to energy efficient EV by offering easily accessible, highly reliable and hassle-free charging point to all type of EV users. So this is really the type of financing we want to do and really take a big part of the energy transition.
You've talked about these major challenges and changes which are underway. In this environment, what kind of innovation and new assets are you seeing in the infrastructure market today?
So in order to take two very concrete examples, I will start with batteries. This is a very interesting sector that we monitor closely, as batteries usually are used to support the development and stability of low-carbon infrastructure. For example, they are used in support of renewable energy in order to stabilize the grid and optimize the electricity use and dispatch. You are storing electricity in batteries when production is in excess and releasing it when demand is exceeding generation. Batteries are also essential for electric vehicles. So when you look at the whole battery chain in Europe for clean mobility, there are financing opportunities arising for the development of gigafactories, for example. We have seen some in France and Sweden recently. And if you are going further down the value chain, securing critical minerals and metals to be able to supply batteries in Europe, with the recent increased focus by government to secure local supply and production, is a big theme in Europe. If I take another example, which is a well-known one as well, hydrogen is another interesting example of development in the energy transition. And you have to look at the full value chain. Hydrogen can be used for the production of ammonia, methanol, or steel. It can also be used as fuel for electricity production or transport. So while traditional hydrogen production is a very carbon-intensive process, green hydrogen or low-carbon hydrogen produced by water electrolysis using low-cost and abundant renewable energy in some geographies in Europe is a very interesting and promising low-carbon energy carrier. Green hydrogen can be stored, transported, can be used for the production of green steel or converted back to electricity with the use of fuel cell. It can also be used, as I mentioned before, for heavy vehicle transportation. So we see a lot of financing opportunities, interesting financing opportunities linked to the development of green hydrogen. And you have to look at the full value chain.
Yeah, and if I may add what Stephanie just mentioned, we can see that there is a lot of opportunities in this new sector and this new technology. And really, lenders will need to have the resources and the expertise to evaluate this type of complex projects while maintaining an adequate risk profile. So lenders with the ability to analyze the full value chain from technology to market research to income generation, and also to offer this bespoke financing solution, will have a greater capacity to invest proactively and take advantage of these early stage opportunities to capture the best risk return. At BNP Paribas, we really enjoy this privileged access to the whole group infrastructure franchise, having this deep market knowledge, especially on low carbon assets, and supporting us in the development and sourcing of assets. In particular, we are working very well with BNP Paribas Corporate and Investment Banking, which has a strong presence and network across Europe with extended sourcing capacity and originating over 20 billion per year. So this is a really a great time for us to be very present in this type of new sector and to, again, to help on the energy transition by financing this type of assets.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that's a very comprehensive review of a sector which is literally laying the foundations for the future. There's a lot going on, but I think you've given us a very good overview of what's happening and what matters at the moment in the infrastructure debt asset class. So thank you very much for that. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew.
Well, that's it for this week's episode of Talking Heads. If you would like more information, please reach out to your BNP Paribas Asset Management contact or check out Viewpoint, our website for investment insights at viewpoint.bnpparibas-am.com. We recommend subscribing to Talking Heads on your favourite podcast channel. You'll receive your podcast episodes every Monday afternoon. If you like the podcast, leave us a positive review and a nice rating. You've been listening to the BNP Paribas Asset Management Talking Heads podcast with me, Andy Craig, Stephanie Passé and Vincent Guillaume from the Infrastructure Debt team within our Private Assets Group. Thank you, and we'll talk again next week. Bye-bye.
This presentation includes a discussion on current market events and is not intended as investment advice or an offer of products or services by BNP Paribas Asset Management. Please keep in mind that the information and analysis in this presentation is only current as of the publication date.